Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning on the program, I'd like to talk about kinds of faith that fail to save. You know, a lot of people have faith in someone or something. The problem is not so much that they don't have faith at all, but they have faith in the wrong thing or the wrong person. And there are kinds of faith like that that fail to save. And that's what we want to talk about on the program, and we're glad that you have joined us. We thank you for tuning in. We'd like for you to come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Come worship with us. We want to have a genuine faith and a faith that saves. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, also in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul talks about a genuine faith or a faith unfeigned. It's genuine. It's real. That's the kind of faith that we want to have. And that's the kind of faith ultimately that will save. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5, he talks about a faith unfeigned. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5, the faith of his grandmother, Timothy's grandmother and mother, and he talks about a faith unfeigned, genuine, not hypocritical in any way. That's the kind of faith that we want to have. Do you know that in the King James Version of the Bible in the New Testament, seven times faith is related to saving? The right kind of faith will save us. Luke 7:50, Luke 18:42, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. By grace have you been saved through faith. 1 Timothy 2:15, Hebrews 11:7, James 2:14, and James 5:15. Can we have a faith that saves? One of those passages of Scripture, if you'll turn with me to James chapter 2 and verse 14, this is a great place to begin where James talks about that we can have a faith, but it may or may not save. I believe the problem with a lot of folks is not that they lack faith altogether. Everybody believes in something or someone. I don't know of anyone that has absolutely no belief in anything. Faith is simply belief or confidence or trust in someone or something. Everyone has some level of faith in something. That's not so much the problem. The problem is not that a person has no faith at all, but that he has a faith in the wrong kind of thing, in the wrong person or the wrong thing. There are various kinds of substitute faiths. There are perversions of the one true faith. So just because a person has a faith doesn't mean that that faith saves. This morning on the program, we want to look at some of these kinds of faith that do not save. But in James chapter 2 and verse 14, James writes, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he has faith, but have not works? Can that faith save him?" Look at that question. Can that faith save him? He has faith. He says he has faith. But James questions as to whether or not that faith can actually save him. And we're going to come back to this later in the lesson. It has to be an active working faith in order for it to save. But look at that question. Can that faith save him? That implies that not all faiths save. It's a rhetorical question answered no. That faith that he has cannot save him. So there are faiths that fail to save. And we want to look at those this morning. What kind of a faith do you have, friends? We all believe in something or someone. What kind is it? I want to consider several this morning in our lesson. First of all, a person could have a counterfeit faith. If we're not careful, we'll put our faith in counterfeits and frauds and fakes. Satan has always manipulated people who are naive, and he can fool them into error and away from truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, the false teachers are transforming themselves into messengers of light, but they're actually deceitful. and they take people away to a fake and a fraud. And so it's possible for our faith to be in a counterfeit. It's only a sham. It's only a fake. And so we need to make sure that our faith is in the true Word of God. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, Matthew 15:8-9, Matthew 23:27-28, they had a faith, but it was in the wrong thing. And it was in human traditions and outward appearances, but inwardly it was not a genuine belief of God's word and practice of that. So a person can have a counterfeit faith. Don't believe a lie. In 2 Corinthians 11:13-14, don't believe those messengers of Satan who go out, false apostles, Paul called them, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Don't have a counterfeit faith. Number two, another kind of faith that fails to save is faith in self. We live in a very autonomous age when self is the prime concern for many individuals. Me, humanism, which many people ascribe to today, says that man is the measure of all things. Man is the pinnacle of all things. There is no God. We're here on this earth by naturalistic evolution. We're just a higher form of an animal. And we are the only ones that we have to be concerned with. And so we put faith in ourselves, in our human wisdom, what we think and what we feel and what we can accomplish. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, we read there, a well-known proverb, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." People tend to put faith in their own right ways and what we think and what we feel, and their faith is in their word. In Proverbs 28 and verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." We need to have self-confidence. There's a good thing called self-confidence. There's nothing wrong with that. But to place one's ultimate trust in self is foolish and ultimately destructive. Let's not have a faith in ourself. Number three, a person can have a faith, a self-righteous faith, and that faith would fail to save. Do we trust in our own righteousness to save us? Do we look at others and fault them, but not look at our own faults? In Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, Jesus talks about the Pharisee and the publican who go into the temple to pray, and the one is trusting in himself and the other is not. And the Pharisee said, "I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like all these other persons, and I tithe twice a week. I fast and I give tithes of all that I get." And then the publican said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." One was self-righteous. And Jesus describes it that way in Luke 18 and verse 9. He spake a parable of certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and set all others at naught. To trust in our own righteousness is to reject the only real means of the righteousness of God that has been provided in the gospel. Romans 1:16-17, in the gospel there is a righteousness of God that is revealed. Also in Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, that righteousness of God is faith in Christ. That's how we become right, not by our own plan of being right. The rightness is found in the gospel. So self-righteous faith fails to save. Number four, we might have a partial faith. That fails to save. Our whole heart is not in it. Sometimes we need to have a more wholehearted faith, like Amaziah of 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 2. His whole heart was in serving God. I believe too often our faith in God is diluted. It's watered down. Just like pure water, and then you introduce into it impurities, foreign elements, foreign objects into that pure water, and it corrupts it. We need to have a single-minded purpose and devotion to serving the Lord. One of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 is pure in heart. Putting God first, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. As Jesus said when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? A wholehearted faith. Do we have that, friends? Anything less will keep us from being saved in God's eyes. It will keep us from obeying what God wants us to do in order to be saved. With regard to Amaziah, I was mistaken about his wholeheartedness. The scripture says, and he did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah, but not with a perfect heart. That's what I meant to say earlier. It wasn't complete in his service. He was serving God, but it wasn't wholehearted and complete. He had a good start. He did a lot of good things. Verse 3, it came to pass when the kingdom was established unto him that he slew his servants that had killed the king of his father, but he put not their children to death, but did according to that which is written in the law of the book of Moses, as Jehovah commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. And it goes on to talk about his activities. When we serve God, we have to have a perfect heart, a complete heart. Verse 14, now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed himself down with them and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of Jehovah was kindled against him, kindled against Amaziah. So that little part later that was not completely serving God, that's the part where he let idolatry in. Let's have a wholehearted faith. We might have a faith that is misoriented. A fifth kind of faith that does not save would be what I might call a misoriented faith, where our faith is placed in the wrong person or the wrong thing. Some trust in money, some trust in power and riches and fame and fortune, some trust in other people rather than Jesus Christ. Here's an example of this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. When Paul came preaching, he didn't want to use words of wisdom at Corinth because he didn't want their faith to be placed in his oratory and his speaking skills. He wanted their faith to be placed in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. Brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now look at it, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That lets you know that your faith can be placed in the wrong thing. Not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He didn't want them to be putting their faith in his oratory skills and Paul, and what a great preacher Paul was. And as preachers today, I speak for myself, we need to be careful and exercise care lest we encourage others to put their faith in us. It's not about us. It's about pointing people to Jesus Christ. The only faith that saves is faith in the Lord. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Where Paul says, I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. Him whom I have believed. That's Jesus Christ. So, a misoriented faith does not save. Friends, we're talking about faiths that fail to save, and we're glad that you're studying with us on the program this morning. I believe everyone has some kind of a faith, some kind of a belief in something or someone, but it may be a faith that fails to save. Can that faith save him, James said in James 2:14? The answer is no. So what are some other kinds of faith that fail to save? Well, the next one might sound a little contradictory, but I'm going to call it skeptical faith. Faith which vacillates and wavers back and forth between one thing or the other. James calls it being double-minded. We need to avoid being double-minded, James 1, 6-8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He believes in one thing, and then he goes back and believes in another thing and comes back to the first thing, and he's not standing on a firm belief of one thing. Let's not be double-minded. Let's be convinced of the truth and stick with that. Convinced of the evidence. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Faith is based on evidence from what we hear in God's word. And to come to God, we must believe that he is, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 11, faith is substance, and it is evidence. And we don't need to be double-minded. We need to be sure of what we believe. So a skeptical, double-minded, vacillating faith does not save. Another kind of faith that does not save is a small faith. Jesus sometimes rebuked his disciples for having a small faith, little faith. O ye of little faith. Matthew 6:30, Matthew 8:26, Mark, Matthew 14:28 through 31, Luke 22:31 and 32. Our faith must be strong enough and big enough, not little faith, to stand the test. You can never have too much faith. But Jesus talks about those who have a little faith. O ye of little faith. It's a small amount of belief, but not enough to completely put our trust in God. And we begin to waver. We begin to fall. It reminds me of Peter walking on the water with Jesus in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. When Peter was walking out on the water, and then he looked around and saw the waves, he began to sink. And Jesus took hold of his hand and said, O ye of little faith, why do you doubt? We need a great faith. Like the centurion who believed in Christ, Matthew 8, verse 10. We need to be strong in faith like Abraham, Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. And if there is that small amount of unbelief, we need to be asking the Lord, like the man did in Mark 9:24, help my unbelief. when we have just a small faith, it will carry us through those moments in life that are fine. But when moments get difficult, we'll begin to sink like Peter did. That faith does not save. Another kind of faith that does not save is dead faith. And that often is what is found in the religious world. It is a faith without works. They've been told that you're not supposed to do anything in order to be saved. Although faith itself is a work of God, John chapter 6, belief. Believing in God is a work of God. The problem is not works per se. The problem is what kind of works are we talking about? Peter told Cornelius, he that worketh righteousness will be saved. In Acts chapter 10, there's different kinds of works. Self-righteous works do not save. Works of human tradition and things like that do not save, but the works of God save. And in Hebrews chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, we read verse 14 earlier. Let's read the rest of the chapter. This is talking about Christians who need to be active in their faith, but the principle is the same before we become a Christian or after we become a Christian. Faith is always to be obedient and active and working. James chapter 2, we read verse 14. Look at James 2:15. If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful for the body, what does it profit? Just saying things isn't going to get it done. We've got to give. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show you my faith. Thou believest that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Anybody can believe. Even the demons believe that God is one. Anybody can have a belief, but we've got to go beyond that. Verse 21, he gives a couple of Old Testament examples, Abraham and Rahab the harlot. Verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works in that he offered? That's a verb, that's action. He didn't just say to God in Genesis 22, I believe you, God. He got up and went and offered up his son Isaac like God told him to do. He offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete. Believing is the starting point. The finishing point is when the believing becomes the obeying. It has to be perfected or completed. Many people just want to start at the beginning, the belief part, and not finish it off with the obedience part. And that's one of the biggest problems today with the faith-only salvation of many denominations here in Clarksville and other places around. Just have faith in Jesus, and at that moment you'll be saved. That the Scripture never teaches that. That's the starting point, belief in Jesus, and then that is to move us to obey what he said to do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We must also confess that he's Christ, the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. We must also repent. Luke 13, 5, Acts 17, 30 and 31, other passages. Acts 2, 38, repent and be baptized. The belief, the repentance, the confession, the baptism, all of these are a part of having faith in Christ. So Abraham completed his faith. He made it perfect when he went out and worked in the sense of offering up his son Isaac. And it wasn't any self-righteous work because God told him to do it, and he was simply doing what God told him to do. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. But when was it reckoned unto him for righteousness? When he offered up his son Isaac. Verse 24, you see that by works a man is justified and not only by faith. It's interesting that in Scripture, when we have the word only and faith, it's preceded with the word not. Not only by faith. And in like manner, was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received, that's a verb, she had to do something. She received the messengers and sent, that's a verb, sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Dead faith does not save. And then last of all, vain faith does not save. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2. A vain or empty faith does not save. A vain faith is that which is not grounded in truth and evidence. And Paul talks about he's demonstrated the resurrection of Christ and then later of all mankind in this chapter. Some had stopped believing in the resurrection. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, now I make known unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. Believed in vain. Verse 14, when he's talking about, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. It's faith in something that does not exist. You have faith that Christ was raised. If he wasn't really raised, then that is just an empty belief. And so your faith is vain. Also in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. The fact is, and that's why Paul is writing this chapter, faith is based upon evidence. There was an actual resurrection of the dead. And so 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, all of the different reasons why Christ was raised, it's according to the Scriptures. The Scripture cannot be broken. And also there was eyewitness testimony. Many people who saw him come out of that grave saw him after he was raised. And so the evidence and the proof of that eyewitness testimony, so that we do not have a faith that is vain, without cause, without merit, without evidence, without proof, without substance. Friends, may our faith be the real thing, a genuine faith unfeigned. And if we can help you to do that, let's study together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. May our faith be such that we show it in obedience, an obedience of faith. Paul talks about that in the book of Romans at the beginning and at the end of the book. If we can help you to do that, come, let's study together. Come worship with us and come have a faith that truly saves. We're glad that you joined us this morning on the program, and we hope that you'll have a good day. Thank you for listening.